연못 안에 시신이 몇 구가 있을 것 같으냐? 이 안에 시신이 몇 구가 있건 몇 식구가 있건 그 누구도 내게 아무 말도 못하게 만드는 것. 그것이 권력이다.
조학조의 반응이 크게 달했습니다. 도와주십시오.
8:43. This is Korea Explained, as the title suggests, where we uncover Korea's endless curiosities. All the more curious to Jim Bully, business and sports editor at Korea Jungang Daily. I mean, you are a curious man, aren't you?
Yeah, sure.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So we're talking today, as the trailer we just heard suggests, about Kingdom. And what I love about Kingdom, it's one of the very few drama offerings that has the same title in both English and Korean.
That's very true, yeah. Which is nice, because often when they translate drama titles to English, it goes a little bit off.
Yes, like Roaring Currents.
Yeah, or like...
which isn't actually completely off, but it doesn't quite capture the whole Admiral thing.
The best one was Goblin, of course, Doppelgi, which translates as something really, really, really long. I can't remember the exact title, but it's like, in English it's like eight words, in Korean it's one.
Right. And another example, I don't know. I don't know if these are the best ones or not, but Kemul is host, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, which doesn't really have the same emotive.
Definitely doesn't have, I mean, it's not a million miles away if you think about the movie's context, but it doesn't certainly draw the same image. But monster in English would sound like some camp movie horror or something.
Yeah, I guess host does imply that it's a more thought out movie.
All right. Well, anyway, that's not a million miles away from our theme today, actually, the sort of idea of monsters. Because Kingdom is not what you might think, some sort of Joseon period drama. There is certainly that, but it's like someone took a period drama and decided, actually, no, this needs more horror in it, more gore.
Yeah, so what it is it's a Joseon-ish, actually. It's never declared that it's Joseon, but it's a Joseon-esque era zombie horror thriller.
I watched one episode of this.
Right.
So that's my full disclosure. Okay. That gives me, I think, the right to comment a bit, but you've watched the whole thing.
I've watched the whole thing, but I don't like being scared. So I watched the whole thing. Yeah, I don't like horror or anything like that. So I watched the whole thing intentionally, kind of knowing that I wasn't going to enjoy it.
Okay, so the thing is, I love being scared. And that's part of the reason I only watched one episode, because I wasn't scared.
Yeah.
Sorry to say, I'm not trying to be all, you know, macho on air, but I'm just telling you, Jim, that for me, it was disappointing as a period drama and it wasn't scary, so I thought, what's the point in watching another episode? Should I have stuck with it?
Yeah, it does. It gets better. But the thing that, I mean, this was Netflix's first show released internationally, a Korean show released all over the world. The first show shot in Korea and intended to be released with subtitles on Netflix's platform all around the world. So obviously it was a pretty big thing. And one of the things that a lot of foreign audiences picked up on was the headwear.
The headwear. Okay, so this is where we, you know, before we even sort of assess whether it works as a horror or whether it's even a particularly good drama, let's talk about some of the details.
Yeah, so, I mean, what happened was, a few weeks ago, a tweet from an actually quite well-known American author, John Horner Jacobs, tweeted saying, really enjoying Kingdom on Netflix, the Joseon era Korean zombie show, but can we talk about all the hats in the show for a hot second? I need a scholar of Korean history to unpack all of these lids. And this tweet went viral. I've read that verbatim, obviously. That doesn't sound like me normally. This tweet went viral because there are a whole lot of Joseon era hats in the show that, you know, unless you're a fan of Korean period dramas, you wouldn't be exposed to generally.
Okay, so something this drama is doing is introducing people to costume, and then maybe if they visit Korea one day, they'll like to dress up themselves in something similar, like Gyeongbok Palace or something.
Yeah, and although the show is not specifically set in a certain period of time, largely because there was never zombies in Korean history, they do. It is very accurate.
As far as you can tell.
As far as I'm aware, yeah. It is very accurate to the style of dress and the style of building and also the social structure of the time.
Yeah, okay. Let's just use the hat discussion to ask, how accurate is this generally? I mean, there's also a question about the portrayal of women in this whole drama. I mean, again, if we can't pin it down to one particular dynasty, we can't assess actually that brutally. But there's no period in Korean history where women would have had quite the same roles as they have in this drama, or was it the case, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's certainly true that in the show there are a number of strong female leads, but I think that the power that they have, I'm trying not to give any spoilers, the power that they have is the result of, like, the sort of apocalyptic situation that they face. You know, the rules are kind of out the window a little bit.
And I think that's a very important point to make. So anyone who's going to criticize the way they portray the past on that kind of basis needs to factor in, well, look what happened in World War II, or World War I for that matter, when you see this extreme situation. Suddenly, women are doing all sorts of things and able to progress in ways that ordinary circumstances didn't allow. Now, if you're looking at a zombie apocalypse, no one's going to be saying, wait a minute, you're not the right gender, not the right age, not the right height, not the right anything.
Although plenty of that does happen.
Okay.
You know, from sort of the stauncher members of society, recognizable again by their distinctive hats. Hats denote class. But the, you know, there are those people, but then generally you have a sort of egalitarian leadership who overrule those decisions and are like, this isn't the time for class wars.
Okay, going back to the first episode, I think we can talk about it a bit without too many spoilers because it's so early in the in the series. The way it sets it up is very similar to other Korean dramas I've seen. It's kind of like a power struggle in the palace, right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing particularly original about that, but it was quite fun and I was enjoying it at that point. But then it all starts to get a little bit supernatural, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, you've essentially got two or three plots going on at the same time. You've got your classic political intrigue, Joseon-era drama-style thing. There's a power struggle. Maybe, you know, there's someone else. There's a pretender to the throne, or there's a crown prince. There's a crown prince who is perhaps his position is under threat, or all those things that you normally see. But then also there's this entire zombie plot at the same time. That's kind of... So on the first level, Kingdom is the same as a lot of other shows. Perhaps more cinematically shot because it was aimed for a more international audience, but on the second level, then you have these zombies thrown in the mix.
And so a lot of people are saying things like, oh, Walking Dead fans are going to love this. Is it a similar method of zombification?
Well, I'm not a Walking Dead fan, so I can't tell you 100%. I've seen a couple of episodes.
Well, Walking Dead, they basically, you know, follow this typical zombie path, don't they? Like, if you get bitten by a zombie, that's it.
Then, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they I think that's a fairly standard zombie lore, that a bite makes you a zombie. Isn't it? I don't know.
You deny their existence. But okay, you said you were like worried about being scared. So as the how many episodes are there?
Six.
So as they go along, does it become more about the zombies, or do you maintain this Korean identity throughout?
They both. I mean, obviously the two plots become more interweaved. Otherwise, it would just feel like they just shoved zombies into a period drama. They do become closer and closer and closer related, but you don't lose that Korean historical identity at all. The whole way through. And, you know, even as things get more and more crazy and more sort of gory, everyone is still wearing the same period dress, the same headwear. Everyone's, you know, it all still very much has that feel.
I can almost imagine people around the world turning this into a costume. I mean, if this has really become that popular, and if you've got, for example, the Crown Prince always wearing the same hat wherever he goes, always, even when fighting zombies, that becomes quite iconic, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, the Crown Prince, everywhere he goes, wears a gat, which is like a kind of black, wide-rimmed, slightly see-through hat. And that's already a very, very recognizable symbol of sort of Korean history. Mm-hmm, and I think even people outside of Korea would probably recognize that hat. And you're right, that isn't too difficult to sort of vaguely approximate at home if you wanted to make a costume or something. That is something that people could realistically, you know, manage to do by turning another hat black or something and get away with it.
So overall, you're trying to say that this is positive for Korean culture as an expression?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been hugely widely well received in international press. It's incredibly popular. So I think it's certainly been well received in terms of a cultural impact. The fact that it has people asking questions about these outfits and the setting and the hats and all those things obviously then provides some real substance.
We've got other hats, by the way, on the same theme, and a lot of people have been taking interest looking at some of the posts online. You've got for example the more rural hats, the lower class hats, the high-ranking military officials, the fur and wool, the feathers. Can you give us a quick further introduction, because there seems to be so much interest in it?
I mean, I think there are four main hats that are most commonly seen throughout the show. You have the Gat, which is kind of like that black, wide-rimmed hat, which is worn by most gentlemen and aristocrats when they're out and about. And then there's sort of a lower-class equivalent, the Perengi, which is worn, which is kind of bamboo. It's a rougher material, but it's the same sort of style. And then the plot of Kingdom very much takes place outside of Hanyang, now Seoul, and inside of it. And inside Hanyang is where you really see the fancy headwear, because these, of course, are aristocrats going about their normal day-to-day life far away from the zombie issue. And in Hanyang, you see officials wearing sammo, which is a sort of a weird-shaped hat that has a low front and then a high back. And that was the one that went most viral, actually, because in the Joseon era, people didn't cut their hair in the same way. They tended to wear, to tie it up at the top of their head in a style similar to the top knot. And that hat allows for, you know, you have to have that bobble of hair at the back and then comes down at the front. And then you had the military hats with like the beads and the feathers and all those kind of things called julep. And then the other thing that was very popular in the later episodes, you start to see the queen with some very sort of fancy headdresses, you know, more like wigs or things woven into her hair.
It is very interesting. I also wonder whether this wouldn't be just a foreign influence, but whether it might influence any trends here at home with so much interest on the hats. So pretty widely today, the hat of choice is the American-style baseball cap, isn't it? But you do see the expressions of the old-fashioned hats at the reenactments. Do you think this could find a place back in Korean fashion again?
I mean, I think it's unlikely that we're going to see the streets of Hongdae filled with people wearing, you know, gat and julep. But I think one impact it could have is that, of course, a big problem that the Korean government and the heritage institutions face is that both Koreans and foreigners visiting palaces and things and dressing up in the costumes,
yeah,
tend not to be dressed in anything even vaguely accurate.
Right.
And shows like this and their popularity show what these clothes are actually supposed to look like and hopefully make that attractive rather than the brighter coloured, wrong material, you know, slightly fake look that is what we tend to see now.
Garishness.
Yeah.
Which I saw actually just yesterday around Gyeongbuk Palace. But I don't mean, by the way, the full-on, you know, 100% old-fashioned hats, but maybe an infusion, and I have no idea what that would look like. I'll leave that to the fashion designers.
Certainly,
out
like wide-brimmed hats are becoming more popular again.
Yeah. So if you're going to go wide-brimmed, why go for the Western-style old-fashioned wide-brimmed? Why not Koreanize it slightly? Well, you've maybe been inspired there by Jim Bully's segment here, Korea Explained. Thank you so much.
Thank
Jim.
You.
Always a pleasure to have you in the studio, and now under a new guise in our new season. And that's our show for today and for this week. We'll be back Monday, 7:05, Yerika Park with Inside Korea next.